production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio, your home for NASCAR. We're racing talk radio, 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Good afternoon and welcome to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. We're a radio show that's all about NASCAR. We plan to keep you up to date with everything you need to know about the sport we love.
And even stuff you don't need to know.
I'm Jamie Kyle. That voice you heard was Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand in the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. Guys, we've got a huge day today with a lot of guests. I mean, that's a good thing about being right before the Daytona 500 is you got a lot to talk
everybody
about.
Wants to come on and talk racing.
That's exactly
everybody's
right.
Excited. Hey, listen, I don't know about you guys, but I was pretty, I mean, just to see cars running around the track this weekend, I literally watched all 4 hours of practice.
I'm a little embarrassed
to say that, but I watched all 4 hours of practice on Saturday just because I was so anxious to see cars going around the track again and to see what was going to happen. And it's an exciting time. I'm super pumped. It's the Super Bowl, baby.
Exactly. And let's tell you about the Super Bowl show we've got for today. We've got Alex Hayden joining us with MRN Radio. We also have Ed Clark, president of Atlanta Motor Speedway. Some say that's the first race of the year because Daytona is such a crapshoot. We're getting to the mile and a half. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. Also, Scott, we've got, and Jason both. I mean, we were talking about this when we come in, this great promotion today where you can win basically the whole weekend of Atlanta Motor Speedway to go. You can go and watch all the races. You also can get a free oil change. I mean, how much is that? That's like $40, $50.
Well,
bucks, right?
If I was looking at my show notes, I would say that whole package is worth $110. You're gonna get oil change. You're gonna get tire rotation. You're gonna get a set of wiper blades. $110 value. We're gonna give one of those away here in a little bit this afternoon.
Exactly, along with tickets for the NASCAR qualifying on March the 3rd and the Xfinity race on March the 4th, and then the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series on March 5th. Now, you have to listen very carefully in order to win. We're going to tell you, give you a cue to call.
Scott, well, according
to the
notes.
What do they need to do, Scott,
according to the notes? Well, thanks for that's called passing the buck. when they hear the cue to call, we'll announce that a little bit later in the show, and I'll give you a phone number. It'll be 478-8819. You can give us a call. We'll take the third caller. So when you call, third caller is going to win all tickets to the whole weekend and the grandstand, plus you're going to get that outstanding. Listen, the oil change package alone is worth calling in and winning. I'm a little disappointed that I'm not on the other side of the line trying to win that. But to get the racing tickets on top of that, what a great weekend. Atlanta is really the start. Hopefully the weather doesn't look too terrible here. Looks like the weather, spring has already sprung here in the South. So weather shouldn't be an option or an issue, and it should be a lot of fun in Atlanta.
We need to make sure we watch the caller ID when we call in, make sure it's not Scott's wife, Jason, calling.
Well, listen, hey, third caller, baby.
Try to get this deal done. All right, so had a lot of racing. I guess a lot of racing compared to what we've had, which is none. But we had the Clash, the Advanced Auto Park Clash. I got that right. A couple of takeaways there, guys. I saw, you know, the Fords. We had a question about Stuart Haas Racing and were they going to be competitive early on in the Fords. It's still too really early to tell, but you look at somebody like Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, and even Danica Patrick, hard for me to say, had a pretty good run.
Did you struggle saying that?
I did, very much so.
You know, I thought that we knew that the Penske cars would be fast coming into the weekend. You knew that all the major Toyota cars were going to be fast, and they all were. The surprise to me was Stuart Haas. I mean, they came off the truck just lighting it up. I mean, they were. It looked like they really hadn't missed a beat. I think they're going to have some troubles and some trials here over the course of the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season. But this is a track where if you can show up and put power in that engine, it looks like those Roush Yates engines are super duper fast. That you can point those in the right direction. How great was it to see Clint Bowyer smiles? I mean, he literally every time you saw him on TV this weekend, he was just grinning from ear to ear. He goes from the situation he had last year to the situation he has this year, knowing that he's going to have a fast race car all year long. And there's a lot of intrigue. I think that with another group of Fords, even the Roush Fenway Fords, looked pretty good in Saturday practice. Didn't qualify quite as well, but looked pretty good in Saturday practice. So it's positive, and I think that's a positive for the sport. When you have all three manufacturers with a chance, I think we talked a little bit off the air, surprised at the speed out of the Hendrix cars this weekend as well.
Yeah, you really didn't be able to tell a whole lot during the clash, you know, with the speed with the Hendrix. But I tell you, when they got out there for qualifying, you know, the 88 really came. Surprised me. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, where did he find this speed? I mean, he really smoked it out there, and then Chase Elliott comes right behind him and grabs the pole by 0.005 of a second.
Third year in a row, the 24 car has been on the pole.
Yeah.
So obviously they can figure out what they're doing. I guess my only concern with Hendrick, if you did watch the clash, was Johnson spun twice by himself in literally almost the exact same location that Junior spun last year and Elliott spun during the 500. So the handling, the aerodynamic stuff is still a little bit of a concern for me as a Hendrick fan. But the speed and what we saw this team do at the end of last year looked like they've carried it right over into the start of this season, and there's a lot of speed in those Hendrick cars again.
But, you know, the interesting thing about Johnson, I think I sent you guys a text on this, is the fact that, yeah, he spun out twice, but that's probably the start of another championship season. It seems like those guys, you know, can make mistakes like that, but then they can figure it out really quick.
And don't forget this, guys. Casey Kane had a really strong qualifying run.
He did, too. Well. I thought the whole organization from top to bottom looked like, I mean, I never get – there was a time, I guess, and I guess I have to admit this, there was a time last year when I doubted Jimmy Johnson. He erased all those once the chase started last year, so you can't doubt him. It looks like the rest of the organization, it's a big year for Kane. I think it's out of those drivers, this is the biggest year. You've got that team and that driver in particular has got to have a strong year. And Jason hit the nail on the head. They qualified well. They look like they're going to be racy this weekend as well.
And Kane's going to have a good year. If you think about the four Hendrick drivers, you know Chase Elliott's locked in, being a hot rookie, very marketable. Dale Earnhardt Jr. can name when he leaves. Jimmy Johnson, what can you say? Seven championships, right? But Casey Kane is the one that's really kind of not done that well. And I think at the end of the year, if you're Rick Hendrick, that's a guy that you can make a change and go out and get one of these young guys.
You could, but I mean, I think this is an opportunity for them. There's, you know, they've had some issues the last, you know, at least the last 18 months. Their cars have not been as fast as the others, but it looks like coming out of the gate, they're going to be right up there with the rest of them. Now it's about driver or crew chief and that type of stuff, making the right decisions, and they're going to have every opportunity to do that. And if this is a, you know, this is a big year for them. If they don't perform like that organization thinks they're capable of, there's a lot of great young drivers out there that could easily find their way into a new ride. Now, we're not firing anybody.
Yeah.
Firing anybody today.
This is not
today.
Tennessee
volunteer. We're not going to fire anybody today, but I think it's an important year for him.
Jason, in your opinion, we had Eric Jones, you know, rolling out in the 77 and the 78 of Martin Truex. It seemed like they had some problem with tech. Probably it makes you wonder how that happens when you have 3 months to get that right, and then you roll out there and you can't even make it through tech.
It's like going out there taking an opening kickoff and not knowing what you're doing and have to take a timeout for the first play.
Right.
I mean, you know, you need to have that dialed down. But, you know, they are trying to push the limits, pushing the envelope.
Pushing the limits. And I think if you listen to their team director, there may have been a template issue where they just – their template back in Denver was just off. And they had all kinds of trouble all weekend long. Those guys worked, and they were even talking about they were immediately getting back on the plane Sunday, going out to Denver and trying to figure out what was going wrong because they were not having those template issues back in Denver. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, obviously they'll get all that stuff worked out. You expect, I mean, you know, Truex was right there in qualifying. He had a very fast race car, and he ran one lap in practice. I mean, literally one lap in practice. So I'm not concerned at all about that Toyota at all.
Well, I think one lap in practice at Daytona is not that bad as compared to one lap at practice at a mile and a half where you really need to dial the car in handling-wise.
Well, yeah, and it's not like this guy was, what, 6 inches from winning the Daytona 500 right. last year. So it's not like he doesn't know what he... Yeah, obviously, Eric Jones probably would have liked a little more seat time for that mammoth marathon four-hour practice they had.
Right, that you watched every bit of.
I did. I watched every single minute of it. That's embarrassing. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. As he'll get some more practice time this week, and it'll be important for him to get comfortable in that car. But the guy is extremely talented, and he's going to have a fast race car, that's for sure.
Jason, did you learn anything towards the end of the clash when we saw Joey Logano get hooked up with Brad Keselowski, got up there to the front? Hamlin kind of knew, I mean, had to know they were coming, so he moves down blocks and starts the mess. Do you think we'll see a lot of that in the 500 as far as, you know, one car getting out there and then attempting to block, especially with the way the rules package is now?
Last lap, yes. I mean, I think you're always going to see that. In any kind of race, you're going to go down there and do what you can to hold off. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't expect anything else. Just wasn't capable. Didn't have the capability at that point.
My question is going to be, how racy are they going to be at the end of these segments?
Right, that's where
that to me, that's going to be the real change to see. Are you going to protect your stuff and be ready for the big trophy at the end, or are you going to try to get some of these bonus points? I would think that the guys that are near the front are going to be hard, going to be racing hard. If I'm 12th, 13th, 14th, I don't know how hard I'm going to race, but you never know. I mean, we've seen these guys, we've seen it get a little crazy and a little hairy when rain's on the forecast. And it's right around the corner. We're going to have similar type situations with built-in segment and caution flags. So it's going to be interesting to see how kind of out of the control, edge of the seat racing this stuff gets at these end of these segments.
And you think about this, guys. You've heard veteran drivers in the past talk about, you know, if you're 50 laps in and they're talking about these knuckleheads out here driving like it's the last lap. You know, that's one of those type of things that I'm kind of curious to see, and it goes along just with what you said on those segment points. It's going to be insane, in my opinion, but I do think you have to play it smart and look at the bigger picture instead of just those segments.
Speaking of the big picture, we had qualifying this past Sunday, and Jason, you alluded to it earlier, Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes up to the front. You think about it, guys, as much as I like NASCAR history, you've got an Elliott and an Earnhardt sitting on the front row, and that's probably happened before at Daytona. But really cool to see Dale Earnhardt coming off, 17 races that he missed there, and then to be able to come back and drive the car. He's always good at Daytona. I look for that to kind of be challenged as far as his recovery period when he gets back to a more, you know, mile-and-a-half track, a short track, and stuff like that. But you got to be, if you're Dale Earnhardt Jr., pretty happy to be starting on the outside of the front row, knowing that you don't have to perform in the 150s, but it would be a good idea to.
Yeah, you pick up points out there in as far as the duels go, but you got to think, you know, it's good for him to get the jitters out. I mean, go out there and then wind up on the front row starting the Daytona 500.
Well, and you know, and he needs, you know, it's been a long time since he's been in a race car in a competitive situation. He didn't run in the class this week, so he was in the TV booth, did a great job in the booth. But, you know, now he's going to have to get out there on Thursday and actually do a little race car driving. I don't, obviously, the guy is maybe the best super speedway driver there's ever been. He just knows, you know, he obviously growing up with his father, he understands what's going on out there. So I don't think there'll be too much anxiety. I think it'll be maybe nervous excitement about getting back in the race car because he seems genuinely want to get back in the car. So that part of it will be interesting to watch. But I don't think the guy's nervous. I think he's just excited to get back out there. There are points on the line Thursday night. So, it's going to be that balancing act of and I think that's great for the sport. I think we were going to watch the race anyway. I think me, you, Sean, everybody, we're going to watch the race on Thursday night regardless of what was going to happen. But for the casual fan to know that, hey, there's points involved in this and it's going to be, you know, there's probably going to be some aggression out there and probably some guys that are going to tear up some race cars. It's going to be very disappointing. So it brings another level of excitement and intrigue to the race this Thursday.
Very much so. All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, we've got Alex Hayden. Also, before we go to break, Scott, let's tell them about the promotion once again.
Yeah, we're going to Freeway to Atlanta Motor Speedway presented by Whitfield Oil and Valvoline. Caller 3 coming up. Not in this break. We'll take it'll be in a couple breaks. We'll announce that. But you're going to have an opportunity to get tickets to the full race weekend, qualifying, the Xfinity race, and the NASCAR, the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race on Sunday. Plus, you're going to get a Valvoline instant oil change certificate. With comes with that, with a tire rotation and a set of wiper blades, $110 value just for that. Tickets on top of that. Big package. We're going to give that away here in just a few minutes.
Should be very exciting. Make sure you listen for your cue to call. When we come back, we'll have Alex Hayden. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, co-host Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand. Very excited to have a longtime friend of the show now, we can say, and having followed him on Twitter for most of the offseason, I've figured out he does nothing but
play golf all the time.
Yeah, well, that and play music. I found out he can play music now, along with his shoe fetish. That's what we're going to call it from now on, where he should have a sponsorship with Nike. But Alex Hayden, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, gang? Yeah, I think you guys pretty much covered it. And I consider you guys friends. You're friends now, so we'll let all that go. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's lots of golf, lots of travel, bouncing around the islands, little fruity cocktails with my pinky in the air, and yeah, I got some shoes going on too, so that's pretty much the off season. Thank God we're back in Daytona ready to race.
Exactly, and we've had, you know, Alex, I was mentioning last week, this is really one of the few years, off seasons, I guess, that I can remember where we had so many changes. I don't ever remember having this many changes in off season. I go back to the Car of Tomorrow, and you could look at that, and maybe it was big then, but it's not that big now. But with everything that had happened in the off season, what's been the driver's thoughts about all the changes that happened?
Well, I've spent a lot of time over the last few days. We've been down here for a week now. Got here last Thursday and talked to lots and lots of drivers, and when you're leaning on a stack of Goodyear tires in the garage area, just you and one driver, or you and a driver and a crew chief, whatever the case, nobody has to be politically correct. So when we sit around and talk about things, you get the honest answers out of them. And I did not get not one person say that they weren't pleased about these changes and very positive on what we should see and what to expect. I mean, let's face it, they're the ones holding the steering wheels and have their right foots on the loud pedals, so they're the ones that should know what's going to take place. I think we're in for something spectacular this year, at least on paper we are. I mean, because a lot of these races have been run on paper already by these teams because of the strategies that are going to come into play, the drivers being up on the wheel, racing as hard as they possibly can every single lap. I think it's going to be good. Every driver I've talked to for the last week is very excited about it, and they all agree that this should be something special.
Well, I know, Alex, I know we're excited about it. And I guess part of that is just, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how they're going to handle, we were just talking about the duels. There's points on the line at the duels. How aggressive are they going to be Thursday night compared to what's going to take place Sunday? There's just a lot of intrigue. And I guess that is ultimately what the sport needed. It needed to generate a little excitement.
No question. And I agree with you. Tomorrow night, the Can-Am Duel is going to be a lot more interesting than it has been in the last few years, just because with the RTA and the way things are set up with the teams, you know who's in the race. I mean, that's not a secret to anybody. But right now, with bonus points on the line, that changes everything. I still am not 100% sold on the fact that these two races tomorrow night, they're going to go all out, for the simple fact that these are the Daytona 500 cars.
Right.
I think these teams may be willing to sacrifice some potential bonus points tomorrow night just to make sure they have their best bullet in the gun come Sunday for the Great American Race. So once we do get to Daytona for the 500, I expect fully that you're going to see all kinds of crazy strategies, and I think you're going to see all kinds of crazy maneuvers out there early on, because they have nothing to lose from that point on. They don't have to save a race car, if you will. So I think it's going to favor this new system. It's going to favor these, especially the opening four or five races, in my opinion, and based off of who I've talked to, it's going to favor aggressive drivers and aggressive strategists on top of the pit box, meaning these guys like Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, who are already drivers who race hard every single lap. I think this is not going to be anything different for them. Crew chiefs that are paired up with them, well, they're typically bonsai-type crew chiefs. Paul Wolf with Keselowski, Todd Gordon with Logano, and, of course, Adam Stevens with Kyle Busch. They're already gamblers, if you will, from the top of the pit box. Who I think is going to be just a little bit timid are these outside drivers, drivers who don't necessarily take risks right off the bat early in races, especially on restarts when we have them. I think they're the ones that are going to have a little bit of a learning curve in the first handful of races this year. This past Friday, I was in the garage just kind of hanging around and ran into Jeff Gordon, and he and I were just standing around talking about this new format, what may or may not take place. And he told me point blank, he said, Alex, I don't see how this would have benefited me at all if I was still racing, because Jeff was a timid guy. He admitted to me, he said, you know, restarts, I didn't press the button too hard on restarts. I was very conservative. So he would be one of those that would have to make a huge adjustment in his driving style should he be racing this 2017 season. So it will reward aggressive people, and it'll cause the passive people to have to learn how to become aggressive.
We're talking with Alex Hayden on Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Alex, being with MRN, one of the best pit reporters, and as I found out listening to on my way back from Cookeville on Saturday, listening to MRN while the rain was falling down there, that he jumps in the booth and does a fantastic job there too. So, Alex,
yeah, there's nothing like marathon rain delays, is there, Alex?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Nobody likes rain at the racetrack, and Mother Nature wanted to play with us Saturday night, and she didn't even buy a ticket, so we had to come back and race. You know that, but the best part of it, I'm fortunate with Motor Racing Network where, depending on the schedule, I'll be an anchor one weekend. I'll be in the pits another weekend. I'll be in the turns for another weekend. And that's part of it. And you get to experience a little bit of everything in the way the broadcast works. So I guess I've got somebody fooled. I can't let you do it.
I've got a question I wanted to ask you. You know, we talked last year, and we knew early on last year that Stuart Haas Racing was going to be switching from Chevy to Ford. And, you know, with the exception of Penske, Ford really hasn't had, you know, that good of years the last two or three years. So we were kind of wondering about how the change would go, and it looks like just as of right now with practice, qualifying, and a good showing in the Clash that, you know, they seem to be on a level playing field with Penske.
I think so. I really do. But part of that, too, is with this rules package that we're running in 2017, at every racetrack is new, except for Daytona and Talladega. The rules package is the same as it was last year. Therefore, I think the Ford camp in general, helping Stuart Haas get up to speed, it wasn't that big of a transition for Daytona. Then, when we get to Atlanta here in another week or so, that's when I think Stuart Haas Racing is going to have their work cut out for them. They're still going to have great power. They're still going to have great support from Team Ford. But the cars are going to be different. The way these engines are mounted on the chassis is completely different than the way the Chevrolets were. So where your weight balance is on these cars is going to be a little bit different. Whereas here at Daytona with the same rules package, even though the engines are mounted different than the Chevrolets, you put your right foot down and you hang on. And that's basically how it goes in the draft here at Daytona. So I'm not surprised to see them up to speed here in Speed Weeks. However, you know, the Toyotas are up to speed. The Chevrolets are up to speed, clearly. They swept the front row. We saw the Toyotas in the Clash get 1, 2, 3, 4. Nobody could really do anything with them until they got, again, aggressive in the final laps. The Ford drivers did and broke up that Joe Gibbs Racing juggernaut at the front of the field. So, you know, I don't know. I think Stuart Haas Racing is going to be just fine overall.
Well, I want to follow up on that, Alex. Watching all the rain delay coverage, and they had Clint Bowyer in the booth. It doesn't look like to me that guy has stopped smiling since he got down there. Have you had a chance to talk to Clint? And just is he as excited and fired up as he looks on TV?
It's funny. Yeah, the short answer is yes. The long answer is I landed in Daytona Beach last Thursday afternoon. Bass Pro Shops had a huge grand opening for this massive Bass Pro Shops directly across the street from the Speedway in this new real estate project called One Daytona. And, of course, Clint Bowyer, driving the 14 cars, got the sponsorship with Bass Pro Shops. He was on a panel signing autographs. There was Hall of Famer Richard Childress, his grandson and now driver of the Geico Chevy, Ty Dillon was there. Martin Truex Jr. was there, and then Clint Bowyer. And there was this massive line of people, as usual, trying to line up to get their autographs. And I saw Clint, we waved and talked, and I walked up to him and said, it's kind of nice to be relevant again, isn't it? And he kind of laughed, and of course, in the Clint Boyer fashion, which I can't go into in this family program, it kind of shoved me and pulled me back in. He said, this is something that I've missed. It's something that I haven't had. And that's not a knock on Harry Scott and H. Scott Motorsports from a year ago. They just simply didn't have the resources to put a top 10 run car on the racetrack every week. So for Clint Boyer to be in this position, driving the famed 14 car that Tony Stewart had retired from, to be relevant in the sport again, I think there's pressure on Clint. He's never going to admit that because realistically there's pressure on all these drivers to perform. But Clint Boyer's got pressure in the fact that he has no excuse. He's not riding around in lesser equipment. He's got to perform, and he knows that.
Alex, with the change to, I guess I call it the wreck car policy, right, where they can't go, you know, if they go behind the wall, you know, they're out. They've got, so I think it's 5 minutes, whatever, to fix their car on pit road. What's been kind of, have you heard any kind of strategies on how the teams are going to try to do that? Because I know that's going to be new. And also, it's going to affect the points as far as how many points you can get, because you can no longer go and fix your car behind the wall and then get out and ride around and hope, you know, everybody wrecks at Talladega and you finish, you know, ahead of where you thought you were going to finish. So what's been kind of the talk from the teams on how they would approach getting that done?
Well, let's start with this. There's a degree of people out there that are just fired up and can't stand this new rule because they're pounding their fists saying it's not fair. These teams need to be able to repair their cars. Championship points are valuable. They can get out there and get a good finish. Look at the history. Do the math. And it's been done. NASCAR's done it. I've done it. If you look for the last 15 years, cars who went behind the wall were damaged. The average finish is 38. 38. You're not really gaining a whole lot. Maybe 1 point, maybe two. And yes, that's important. I get it. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, it's not worth it having cars beat up running around out there with duct tape flying in the air and parts and pieces falling off, slowing down the green flag action. We want green flag racing. We don't want to stop the action to still pick up parts of metal that went flying off a wrecked race car. So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is that a lot of people don't know. Yes, there's a five-minute clock. If you're involved in an incident, you can come to pit road. You got 5 minutes from the time you hit the commitment line to come down pit road to the time you get to the exit cone at exiting pit road. You got 5 minutes to get your car put back together to get back out there the best you possibly can. Here's what people apparently don't know, and it's from not really going down and really reading the rule. If you go down pit road and slap some tape on your car, you cannot add body panels. Let's point that out. There's no extra sheet metal or body panels allowed to be added back to the race car. You can just simply add tape and whatnot. You get your car, basically get Humpty Dumpty put back together. You go out on the racetrack within that 5 minutes. If you meet the minimum speed that NASCAR requires in the driver's meeting, they tell you what that is. If you meet that minimum speed for one lap, you can come back down pit road and sit there for 20 minutes if you want to, repairing your race car. A lot of people don't realize that. That is, in fact, part of the rule. So all you got to do in that 5 minutes is get your car where you can meet the minimum required speed. Then you can come back and massage on it. No, you still can't put body panels on, but you can take your time and make sure you get the car buttoned up the best you possibly can. So the teams are all for it because it saves them money. They don't have to travel these massive crash carts and have these specialized body mechanics to pop rivet new parts and pieces on these cars. It saves these teams a lot of money. So overall, this is something the teams went to NASCAR and said, help us, save us from ourselves.
Save us from ourselves.
This is an expense that they don't necessarily have to have.
Well, it's good that Scott and I went out and bought a tape company. We've got a Bear Bond that we offer, and we also have duct tape. So if anybody needs, just let them know. We've got special discounted prices for this
Absolutely.
Weekend and for the weekend of Talladega as well.
Well, and I guess with Alex on the phone, I guess I need to invest in golf grips too, because I'm sure the man has wore out a pair or two of golf grips over the course of that. I don't know. There was like 15, 20 days in a row where the man was tweeting pictures of playing at a golf course. It was making me sick to my stomach.
That's why I work. I work so I can play golf. I mean, that's what
Amen.
Well, and you know, when he retires, he's going to have a magazine that will be published monthly that'll be rating golf courses.
No, I'm all in. Listen, I'm all in on the Alex Hayden.
I'm hoping that Yeah, I'm hoping the Golf Channel notices what I'm doing. The Golf Channel offers me a little sidekick. Yeah, that's the ultimate goal here.
Yeah, so it's an audition. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, now we see where it all makes sense now.
So good. Alex, well, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you. We really look forward to, and I hope our listeners, you know, tune in on Sunday. You can hear Alex Hayden from the pits working like a dog down there so he can play golf. Does a fantastic job. Alex, have a great rest of the week down there. We look forward to hearing you on Sunday.
Look forward to it as well, guys. I'm ready to get race cars on the track for real, and let's get the Great American Race and the 2017 season underway. Thanks again for all you guys do. You guys do a fantastic job, and keep it up.
Thanks, Alex. Have a good day, okay?
Thanks. That wasn't even a paid endorsement. I appreciate that, buddy. Have a good one, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
See you guys.
All right, that was Alex Hayden from MRN Radio on Racing Talk Radio. All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, we've got Ed Clark, president of Atlanta Motor Speedway. But before we go to break, we need to talk to you about...
Yeah, we've got coming up here in just a few minutes, you're going to have your chance to win the freeway to Atlanta Motor Speedway presented by Whitfield Oil and Whitfield Oil Company and Valvoline. We got tickets to all three, or tickets to both races and the qualifying on Friday. We're going to give you an instant oil change car. If I could read my own writing here, an instant change car care certificate. It's going to be an oil change, tire rotation, set of wiper blades. That's $110 value, and that's on top of the tickets to the weekend in Atlanta. So it'll be a great time. We're going to give those away in just a few minutes, right after we talk to Ed Clark.
Yeah, we'll talk to Ed Clark when we come back. This is Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. The Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. I'm Jamie Kyle. With Scott Webb and Jason Hildebrand, it's great to always have Ed Clark with Atlanta Motor Speedway. He's joining us now. And, Ed, I hope you're doing well. And I really got to tell you, I mean, this Daytona stuff is great, but I really look forward to the first race of the year at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Well, we are, too. You know, this beautiful spring weather we've had now for a while. We've got the grounds ready to go. We could race this weekend. We are ready. And eager for the NASCAR caravan to roll into Atlanta Motor Speedway next week and get things underway, and really, really eager to see the low downforce package, the new low downforce package, and how the stage format is going to work out. I was in a meeting with a bunch of the NASCAR officials this afternoon. They are very eager about how this is going to work, and talked to a number of the drivers. Not too much pressure on the drivers from it. They're going to tell you they're going to run every lap as hard as they can. Pressure is going to be on the crew chiefs and the people making those decisions on when to pit, how many tires take, things like that. But it's certainly going to make for more exciting moments in our race and make it more compelling. We're eager to see how that plays out in all three of the events we'll have next weekend.
You know, Ed, I guess that's what I wanted to expound on a little bit is, you know, at Atlanta, it's going to be different because it is the first mile and a half we come to that's different than Daytona. And, you know, Atlanta's always been a challenging track for drivers anyway, whether it's tire wear with the old pavement, which we'll talk about in a little bit, you know, and how fast they go. And so, you know, I don't know that there's a lot of holdback there as far as I don't want to move to the front because track position is so important, but it really will be interesting to see how this segment deal goes down at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Well, I had the opportunity to fly down to Daytona yesterday with Rick Campbell, who's one of the lead engineers for Goodyear, and he pointed out a couple of things I hadn't really thought about in this as far as how it plays out. Number one, NASCAR is limiting how many tires the Cup teams will have. The number will be different depending on the event on the schedule. But so, as Rick said, you know, it used to be they'd go out and run five laps at Atlanta, and the track surface is so abrasive. If there was a caution, they'd automatically come in and change tires. Well, now with this tire limit, some will, some won't. That's going to put people on different strategies. And, you know, that's an element we really hadn't thought about. The other thing is, you know, our segments are 85 laps for the first one, 85 laps for the second one. A full gas run's about 60. So he was saying, do you run 42 or 43 laps, try to split it halfway early in the race, tires going to wear out quicker? Do you run 35 and change when you really start to fall off? What do you do? To me, that puts a ton of pressure on the crew chief as well as the driver. And strategy is going to be a big part of this thing. But the great part is it adds a different element to the race that we haven't been having. And it's going to make for some more compelling moments, especially in the first half of the race. And it's not only in the Cup Series, it's the Xfinity and Camp World Truck Series as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And of course, you mentioned the asphalt surface. This is our last race on our existing surface, our 21st season of running there. And that's going to add something else as well, because all the historical moments we've had on that surface.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the drivers I've talked to down here in the garage want to be the person who puts the period at the end of the sentence and say they won that last race on the surface.
Well, and you know, the track is that's one of the things we love about the track is that, you know, it chews up tires. It gives us all sorts of racing. And I guess with all these, I hadn't even thought about, you know, breaking the segments up. I guess that's part of the excitement, Ed, that I have, is that there's just a whole nother level. We were just talking to Alex Hayden from MRN just a minute ago, and it's really just a whole nother level of excitement or another layer on top of what has already been a terrific, you know, a terrific sport, but it kind of gives it a kind of a boost that really maybe will get some of these fans that have been that have disappeared in the past or some younger fans. It kind of gives a little more intrigue to what's happening, you know, on race day there.
Well, whoever the fans are that come and watch on TV, they're going to see more exciting moments, and that's going to be good. Whether you're a new fan or an old fan, that's always a good thing. But you're right. I think when I first heard about this, I said, heck, you know, the crew chief has very little input into working on the car anymore. He's creating strategy. Now the teams are going to have to go out and get a lead strategist. If this happens, we should do this. If this happens, we should do something else to help that crew chief, because he's going to have to make a decision split-second decision on what to do, and he's going to need some help. A lot of scenarios are going to play out, and you really need to have thought about this before it happens.
Hey, Ed, you know, NASCAR went through a lot of changes, and you guys have been talking about some of those, but another thing that they implemented this year was rules about wrecked race cars on the track. Kind of what are you hearing on that as far as other folks, their ideas, and can I get your perspective on kind of those wrecked race cars on the track?
Well, everybody's for it until it's you that got crashed, and then you can't complain about that. So as long as you're not in a crash and get told you can't go back into the race, it's a great thing, because we've seen the parts and pieces fall off the car, create cautions, create dangerous situations. I'm sure every driver will tell you, look, I've gone back on the track in a car I didn't feel 100% safe in because of the way it was already crashed. This will eliminate that. It will make it safer. It'll reduce some of those debris cautions. But again, everybody thinks it's a great idea today. Sunday, somebody will crash in the 500 and be told, you got to go to the garage, you can't finish the race. They're not going to think it's too good.
Yeah, that's it's kind of interesting, because the one that'll be the one who complains is the one that can't.
Oh, if I'm out there and they tell me I can't go back out, I'm gonna be throwing things.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna be very happy
with the number of points that you missed. Ed, I know you always put on a great show down there, and I know you really cater to the fans. Tell us about what you got going on for the fans that would be coming down the weekend of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Well, first of all, it's a great value. Tickets for Sunday's Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 start at just $39. Kids tickets for that event in any section are only $10. Kids 17 and under are free Friday and Saturday with a paid adult. So great event for the entire family to come out. Great event to, especially Saturday's format with the race doubleheader, to expose new fans to. But we'll start Friday afternoon with Aspen Dental Qualifying Day about 5:30. Then Saturday we'll have practice sessions, qualifying sessions for the Xfinity and the Camp World Truck Series, and final cup practice. Go right into the Rinnai 250 Xfinity Series race at 2 p.m. and then the Active Pest Control 200 Camp World Truck Series race at 4:30 or so. Really excited about that one because Chase Elliott's going to step down and run the truck race as well as the cup race. And Georgia fans absolutely love Chase Elliott. And he's our hometown guy, and he's going to have two chances to win on the weekend. So pretty excited about that one. Then we conclude the weekend on Sunday with the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 about 2:30. But the racing's great. It always is at Atlanta Motor Speedway. But we've got so many other activities planned in our fan zone. Our fan stage is going to have musical entertainment throughout the weekend. We've got a new fan experience center where you can come in and change tires, a simulated pit stop. We've got a mock-up of our turns with a 24-degree banking you can come stand on and take a photograph. Lots of other interactive things there. We've got our AMS Fest Saturday night. All you got to do is have a ticket to either Saturday or Sunday's race. You get in absolutely free. We got cornhole, mechanical bulls, entertainment, and it's just a thank you to the fans for coming from Atlanta Motor Speedways. So it's not just the great racing on the track, but it's all the activity in and around the event all weekend long.
Absolutely, and I can tell you, I've been, you know, this might show my age, but I've been down there at the old setup. And I've been down there to the new track several times. And one of the things I love when I walk into Atlanta Motor Speedway, and it's on the turn three side when you walk in, you literally walk straight up to the wall if you're going to your seat. So it's really neat to walk in and see what a spectacle Atlanta Motor Speedway is. So, Ed, I know you do a great job down there. Now, you've been talked about a lot, you know, for this weather guarantee. I haven't heard you mention this yet. Is this still in play this year?
It's called the Perfect Race Weather Guarantee, and basically guarantees a minimum of a 50-degree temperature on race day. Or if we did have inclement weather and could run that day, and you can't come on the day the race is run, and you haven't gone through and had your ticket scanned, you get a credit for the following year or any other event we have for this year. So it's a way of taking a little bit of weather risk out. This beautiful warm weather we've been having hadn't been an issue, and right now it's high temperatures are forecast in the 70s for next weekend, so I don't even think it's going to be a factor. But it's been very well received by the fans, you know, since we implemented it 1 year ago.
Listen, Ed, you're a marketing genius to come
that
up
is,
with that.
That's bravo.
It's very good there. Ed, tell them how they can get tickets if they want to come down to the races.
Well, first of all, I tell everybody go to AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com on our website. We'll list out all the activities and things you can take part in and around the event. We've got the Chase U promotion where you get in for $24 and get a question and answer session with Chase Elliott. That's for college age students, a little bit separate tailgate thing for them. There's a Richard Petty event where Richard's going to come do a Q&A, a Jimmy Johnson event, many others. You can find all that on AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com. You can buy tickets there. Or if you have questions, not really sure, don't want to just do this online, you can call us, 877-9-AMS-TIX. Got lots of camping spaces, lots of great tickets. Going to have a good weather weekend. Look forward to getting this thing underway. And give us a call. We'd love to have you come down. I know a lot of people from your area come down to be with us anyway.
Absolutely. And it's there's not a bad seat in the house, and great racing all weekend long. I was just thinking to myself, crap, I should go down there, you know, March the 4th and spend the whole day and get all kinds of racing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It'll be great. Ed, thanks for joining us. And I know you're busy, and I really appreciate it and can't wait for the race here in a week and a half.
Guys, it's always fun, and look forward to getting this thing going and welcoming all our guests from all over the country. Thank you for your time tonight. Appreciate your support. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, Ed. Have
all
a great
right, thanks,
day.
Ed.
That's Ed Clark, president of Atlanta Motor Speedway. We need to go to break, but before we do, now is the time.
Now is the time.
That's exactly right.
We're going to take caller number 3 here on the Valvoline Hotline at 478-8819. That's a little different number than the Sport Drive number if you've been listening to that, so you can call directly here to the instant.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Yeah,
you've
studios.
You've had a problem reading today.
Listen, English is not my, I'm not doing a very good job with it today.
Media is what you teach, not English.
Yeah.
Which has English in it, but we'll leave
listen,
that alone.
Well, listen, I need a teleprompter. Where's my teleprompter? I can just read off that. I guess I could
show
just
schedule.
Read off that. Show schedule, yeah. Remember what they look like?
Yeah.
I do too. yes, we're going to take caller number 3 at 478-8819. And you can win tickets to all 3 races, qualifying, plus the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Car Care Certificate. That's oil change, tire rotation, and a set of wiper blades. That's $110 value on top of the tickets. And we're going to take caller number three
right now
at 478-8819.
478-8819. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio. We'll be back to discuss Daytona and who we think is going to win. That's always a big thing on our show. So we'll do that and more when we come back on Racing Talk Radio on 101.3
The Buzz.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Thunder, that's what we're hearing this weekend, boys. It's Daytona time. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. Had a busy show, guys. We had Alex Hayden on from MRN.
I felt like I just worked.
Yeah. Ed Clark, president of Atlanta Motor Speedway.
I blame Sean Whitfield for that.
Yeah, Sean Whitfield has stepped out of the studio when we blame it on him. So I do have a winner for the Valvoline Instant Oil Change tire rotation, wiper and blades, along with
tickets
to
everything.
All three.
What an awesome package. I mean, seriously.
Great. Exactly. Gene Williams called in and won the tickets and the full package. We appreciate Gene listening. Gene, and one of the things that you have to do in order to get the tickets, Gene, is you got to tell at least 10 friends to listen to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 Buzz on Wednesdays from 5 to 6.
We'll be giving away tickets next week, too.
I know. Yeah, we'll be doing the same package next week. So
if you didn't win this week, you're going to have an opportunity to win next week. Going to get as many people to Atlanta as possible.
Exactly. We'll have them all down there, and I'm sure Ed will be walking around as he usually does, and you'll probably run into him. So great guy down there at Atlanta Motor Speedway, does a fantastic job in the race promotion, and you can't beat the races down there. And this being the last race on the nice old surface I wish they would keep. So, all right, we've got a big week coming up. You know, we've got what are we calling this now? I mean, I got 150 in my head.
Gatorade. Can-Am Duels.
The Can-Am Duels.
I'm calling it the Can-Am Duels.
The race that takes place before the main race.
And absolutely. You know, one thing that really gets me.
Is that the official? I don't think that's the official.
Pretty excited, but we'll put it on a T-shirt. Is tomorrow night, it's 7:30 and 9 o'clock. I think that's fantastic to put it prime time, Fox Sports 1. You have them going at it. It's dark there. You've got a race to get in. This is for the qualifying to get set your position. Nobody's safe except for Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Chase Elliott.
They don't wreck.
They don't wreck.
They're not safe yet. Right. But, I mean, you know, they don't really have to win. But, Jason, as we talked, I mean, it's beneficial to stay up there in the front and really try to get the win for the points.
Yeah, and you think about it. We were kind of texting back and forth earlier in the week, guys, and you look at it. Hey, the best way to keep yourself out of trouble down there at this track, run out front.
Exactly.
Go out there and go for the win and run out front.
Yeah. I mean that's – and Junior particularly, he likes to be the Pied Piper of the field. Mm-hmm. So in that second race Thursday night, he'll definitely be out front. And, you know, I would expect that's where he'd want to stay. You know, it's going to be interesting to see in the first race. We got a lot of the Fords are in that first race, the teammates, Logano and Keselowski, plus Harvick's in that one, how they're going to handle all that. You got a bunch of Toyotas in the second one. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's for qualifying position. I don't really know how much it matters. I know it's in the past. You know, we'll see people go the back, stay back there, run around, make some laps. I don't know how different this will be because there's points online, but it does at least give it a little more intrigue. So it's the first point race of the season. So it's going to be, you know, you're going to have a chance to get some points and get some championship points and start earning your way towards the playoffs. I almost said the chase there, but earning your way towards the playoffs.
All right, let me ask you this question. In both your opinions, which rule change will make the biggest difference this Sunday at Daytona?
Rule change, like?
Well, like the wreck car or like the segment. I mean,
wreck cars down there really don't come back in a restrictor plate race or if it really affects.
Yeah, I mean, how many times? I mean, there's that rare occasion where you get spun out and are able to continue, but mm-hmm. usually when you wreck a car down there.
If you're going to the garage, you're out anyway.
You're wrecking your car.
But I mean, to the point though, if you have somebody that wrecks early that might be able to kind of, you know, fix it or whatever, it could affect them. I mean, if they can't go behind the wall and do some changes.
Aerodynamically, though, is where I'm going at that track. I mean, that's going to be a really difficult obstacle to overcome down there at Talladega.
So then, second question, do you think we see somebody sweep all three segments?
sweep. I mean, you can only run in
two
one
segments.
You can run
the duels on
you
one.
I'm talking about Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, sweep all three segments.
Now we're all barking up the same tree.
I mean, you're just now speaking English.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, you see a lot of lead changes back and forth with plate racing. I don't think you see the same winner all three segments.
I would say that's going to be extremely hard to do. If you know, it's hard to put yourself in position. I think there is a lot of strong cars. I mean, if you look at qualifying, I mean, they were like it was hundreds of a second separating a great number. I mean, you could throw a blanket over top of these cars. That's how close qualifying was. So I think there's a lot of cars out there that are going to have the opportunity to win. And we know, we talk about this race in Talladega. You know, it's really, you throw the names in there. It's who gets with the right person. It's about, you know, it's about having teammates and being in the right position and guessing right. So there's just so many factors and variables that control who's actually going to win or be leading at X number of laps. So, but I think that's part of what makes it great is that there are a number of drivers out there, a large number of drivers, I think. And you know, even Suarez, if you looked at him this past weekend, you know, a rookie, but he's in an incredibly fast piece. He's going to be able to make some noise, and we could see a rookie. We've seen a rookie win this race. So it's really the unknown, the anything can happen type race, and it's great that's the biggest race of the year. Those kind of things happen.
But I like what you just said right there. Guess right, guess wrong. One of the drivers I was keeping my eye on during the clash on Sunday was Austin Dillon. I thought he was making a move to the front. He stepped out, went up high, and nobody went with him. And guess what? He goes back, and then he gets caught up in the mess at the end of the race. But I thought he had a really good car if somebody would have gone with him. So he guessed wrong.
The thing I'm interested in seeing is over the past couple of years, Toyotas, you know, they win last year, were up front, you know, with Matt Kenseth a couple of years ago for the majority of the race, and then wound up losing at the end. Do we see the Toyotas stay near the front again this year and kind of be the dominant car at Daytona? Or do you think the Hendrick Chevrolets and the Chevrolets of RCR come back and kind of regain that dominance?
Well, and you haven't even mentioned the ovals, the Ford ovals. Those cars have been really fast down there. So, you know, it's about – one of the things that Gibbs does that's better than anybody else is it seems like from a teammate standpoint and the strategy, they are all kind of on the same page. They work together better than anybody else out there. So, you know, the question with the Fords is the Penske Fords and the Stuart Haas Fords, are they going to be able to work together? Or do they even want to work together? You know, they're still developing that relationship.
I think Kevin and Joey's dad are still.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history there. Yeah. So can they make that all work? Or, you know, they don't have quite the
cohesiveness.
Yes, that you have with Toyota. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. You know, who is really that second fiddle for the Hendrick cars? Who's that additional? You know, we've seen Larson and McMurray both have been kind of racy and kind of fast, although they were a little disappointed with their qualifying. Can they work with the Hendrick cars? So it's going to be, you know, there's a lot of intrigue, a lot of teammate stuff, a lot of this and a lot of that. But ultimately, you're going to get behind fast race cars and you're going to work. You know, I don't see Junior not working with, you know, one of the Toyota's cars if he thinks that's going to give him the best opportunity to get to the front.
Well, and friends kind of go out the door now with this segment racing, you know, where you can get to the front and you can win. I mean, it's not like you're riding around all day, you know, trying to set yourself up and make friends for the finish. So, you know, that's one of the things you brought up. And Jason, I'll let you kind of talk about it real quick is, you know, if you're Hendrick and you're RCR and you're Jamie McMurray and Kyle Larson, you've lost four Chevrolets that you could normally work with that are now gone. And three of those, you know, predominantly good Chevrolets.
Look, who's going to get me up front so I can make a last lap pass? Okay, I mean, that's the thing. Who am I going to work with? Who's fast out there? And I think Webb nailed it on the head. Who's going to get me up there?
That teammate thing is great till about 15 laps ago. Then I'm
out the door.
Then it's who, what partner is going to get, whether it's a partner that has this color emblem on their car or this emblem or this manufacturer or whatever.
We saw it
when too. It's time to go, I want to know who's going with me.
Right. All right, let's get down to it. We got 2 minutes to go. So picks to win the Daytona 500. This is very difficult for me because a good safe pick I know that I could make that could possibly happen, but I'm going to go with the Toyota of Denny Hamlin.
You're a repeat winner?
Repeat
wow.
Winner.
Wow, that's interesting.
Jason Hildebrand.
I'm going to go with the old man jumping back in the car for the first time in quite a while. I'm going to go with 88.
He looks pretty racy, didn't
Wait,
he?
Wait, is Jason back on the bandwagon again? Because you remember last year, it was pretty much Bass Jr. all year.
A guy that can go out there, jump in the car, and come within 5/1000ths of a second of getting on the pole.
I'd love to see Jr. I'd love to see Clint Bowyer. I don't know that I'm going to pick Bowyer. But Harvick is definitely going to be in the mix. I'm going to take one of the Fords. I'll take Joey Logano. I was surprised at their qualifying speed. They were surprised at their qualifying speed. But I saw when they were in the clash and he needed to go, they were able to take it and go to the front. And obviously, got a little help with Hamlin wrecking. Keselowski probably wins that thing if Hamlin doesn't wreck him. But I'm going to take Joey Logano as the Ford representative of this group.
So we've got all three manufacturers' representatives.
Yeah, we're nice like that.
Yeah, that's what we do. Oh, man, guys, it's been a fun show today. Really enjoyed it. Thanks to Alex Hayden, Ed Clark for coming on. And it's great to give away tickets. Gene Williams, we can't tell you how excited you're going to be going down to Atlanta. Stay tuned next week. We'll be giving away the same package. So if you want to go down and hang out with Gene, I'm sure he's looking for friends.
Oh, yeah, man, obviously. Get down there and... you know, as Ed said, there's that mechanical bull. Yeah, yeah, there's plenty to do. You can't get in a little bit of trouble at Atlanta Motor Speedway in a couple of weeks, and plus, that's your own fault.
I heard something about the Monster Energy girls. There being some deal about the clothes they were wearing. So I don't know if that's going to change.
I had no problem.
Sean Whitfield probably knows about that. We'll ask him.
No problem. Any of that.
All right. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thank you for listening today to Racing Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same day, 5 o'clock on Wednesday. We're out on 101.3
The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.